This is not the document. No. This is the document.
It's still young.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Today's daf is daf memhei, and tonight's daf is daf memvav. First time that we are doing a double daf. No, it's not the first time, but we are doing a double daf. Tomorrow morning's davening is long. In addition to that, there's a minhag kavua to do learning on the Lel Hashanah Rabbah, on the eve of Hashanah Rabbah. So what better way to do it than to do tomorrow's daf? We're good. We're ahead of where we should be. We are already on the top of memvav and alf. Let's just quickly review. In a way, it's good that we're doing Mem Hei Mem Vav on the same day. It's really a continuation. It's one long sugya. So let's go back to what we learned already this morning. The Mishnah taught us that if you worship a mountain, the mountain does not become us, so the mountain is still mutter. Right? The Pasuk says, we went through the Pasukim this morning, Eloheim al Heharim, the gods on the mountains, the gods only on the mountains become usher, but the mountain itself does not become usher. Now, let's just quickly review. There's a machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam that we did this morning that I want to review. It's just such an interesting machlokas. You'll see, as we go through today's daf, Rashi seems to be a little bit crisper, a little bit smoother through the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam is a little more difficult in the Gemara, but in Svara, I think Rabbeinu Tam may win out. What's machlokas? Rashi goes like this. Rashi says that the mountain does not become usher. Okay, that's pretty much what the Mishnah says. Rashi then goes on to say that even if you were to take stones from the mountain and you were to quarry the mountain, that's also fine. Rashi then goes one step even further. And Rashi says, let's say you take an animal and you use an animal as takrovis avodah zarah. So in other words, your mountain over there, right there, is that's your God. And you say, good, now I'm going to take this animal and I'm going to sacrifice this animal towards the mountain. Animals also fine. Animals not takrovis avodah zarah. Right? It's a simple progression for Rashi. The mountain is not a god. It's not a deity. The animal offered to the mountain is not a deity. Good. That's the easy part in Rashi. And then Rashi gets to the tricky part. What about the person who does all that? Right. So he's put to death. So, right? He's an Oved of Avodah Zarah. So you can have, according to Rashi, someone who is serving something that's not a deity. The animal that's offered is not an offering, and yet he's an Oved Avodah Zarah. Because in intent, even though it didn't play out the way he wanted it, the animal is not Takrovis, the mountain is not a god, but still, he's an Oved Avodah Zarah, and therefore, he's going to get burnt. As we already went through this morning, the Gemara in Chulin supports Rashi, totally supports Rashi, but it's just, as far it's just very difficult to understand how he's an Oved Avodah Zarah, but there's no Avodah Zarah out there. Okay, that's Rashi. And then there's Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam totally disagrees with his grandfather. And he's of the opinion that, no, the animal that's offered to the mountain is a god. And the mountain's a god also. In other words, he deified the mountain. The mountain now has become Avodah Zarah. It's become an actual Avodah Zarah. The problem for Rabbeinu Tam is our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that if you have somebody worshipping the mountains, so the mountains are mutter. Right? That's what our Mishnah says. If you're Rabbeinu Tam, what are you going to do with our Mishnah? So Rabbeinu Tam writes, it's all, everything I'm going through is in that first big Tosfos on the Sugya, on Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Rabbeinu Tam goes on to write, it just means that you don't have to cut down the mountain. Unlike other forms of Avodah Zarah, where the clear instruction is to destroy the Avodah Zarah, but the mountain, you could leave the mountain as it is. Okay. That is Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and that we already saw this morning. The Gemara went through subtle differences between the Tanakhama and Rav Yosi Aglili back in the Mishnah, and then we saw this morning further discussion about the Asherah tree. Right? The Asherah tree is a tree that's planted for Avodah Zarah. So the Pasuk says two things regarding the Asherah tree. Number one, the Torah says, Tisrafun Beish, you got to burn it. And number two, the Pasuk says, Tegadeun, you got to cut it down. So that also became a lengthy discussion this morning. In short, in brief, it's a major machlokas amongst the Tanayim, whether a tree that was originally planted not for Avodah Zarah, and then after it starts planting into a tree, does it turn into Avodah Zarah? So, in other words, can you convert a tree into Avodah Zarah? It's mechubal, a carcass connected to the ground. That's a major machlokas amongst the Tanayim. Okay. Chachamim say it cannot become Avodah Zarah. Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yosi Aglili, and I think also Rabbi Akiva, sounds that way, are all of the opinion that no, that a tree can be converted into an Asherah. According to the Chachamim of our Mishnah, how do you explain the two verbs of the Torah? Number one, Tisrafun Beish, and number two, Tigadeyan. Because according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili and the other Tanayim, very simple explanation. If the tree was planted for Avodah Zarah, Sreifa, you got to burn the whole tree. If the tree was not planted as Avodah Zarah and it grew, and then afterwards it was converted to Avodah Zarah, then Tigadeyan. Then you just simply cut the new growth that grew after it started worshipping Avodah Zarah. Okay. The word conversion is not the right word. I take it back. Conversion is not good. You're not converting a tree. What you're simply doing is that you're designating any new growth of that tree to be Avodah Zarah. Okay. Anyway. According to Rav Yosef Glili and the other Tanya, you understand. But according to the Chachamim, what's the double verb? What's Tisrafun and what's Tigadeyun? So the Gemara at the bottom of the page explains, oh, that's what you're supposed to do when you go into Eretz Yisrael. What you do is, you go into Eretz Yisrael. The first thing you do is, you don't fully destroy the Avodah Zarah, Tigadeyun. You cut down the tree. Then you go after the enemies. Then you conquer all the enemies. Then you go back to the Avodah Zarah, and then obliterate. That's Tisrafun. That's the double verb usage in the Torah regarding the Asherah tree. And it's really a two-step process in terms of the destruction of the Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's all a summary of this morning. Okay, we continue now. We're in Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and we are about 7 lines from the top of the page. Tani Tana Kamei D'Rav Sheshes. Ha'okum ha'ovdim es ha'harim v'esek va'os, hein mutarim v'ovdeim besayef. Okay, here's a brisa. Brisa was taught in front of Rav Sheshes. You know how this normally goes. Whenever you have a brisa being taught in front of somebody else, so the general feeling is that it's going to be either corrected or amended or just critiqued upon. So the brisa reads that a non-Jew worships a mountain or a hill. So the mountain is mutter, pretty much a repetition of what we learned in our Mishnah. V'ovdehem besayif, but the person who does the worshiping is going to be put to death by the sword. Again, as I pointed out, sounds like Rashi. V'esazrayim v'esayirakos. However, if it's seeds or if it's vegetables, hein asur v'ovdehem besayif. The vegetables are asur, v'ovdehem besayif, and the one who worships it is going to get the sword, is put to death for being Ovid Avodah Zarah. That is the end of the Braisa. Amaleisa Rav Sheshes hears the Braisa and he says, Amalechamani. Who's the author of this Braisa? Because in the Braisa, we're talking about a hill, which is fine, but we're also talking about vegetables. So, money. Who's the author of the Braisa? Rav Yosef, Rav Yehudi, Damar, Ilan, Shanatul, Sof, Avdu. Also, they are of the opinion that if you have a tree that was first planted and then it was worshipped, so then it's going to become usur, right? What are we talking about? We're not talking about vegetables in the market. We're talking about vegetables in the ground. And yet the Braisa says that the vegetables become usur. Okay, that's Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, you didn't have to do that in the Braisa. Meaning there was nothing compelling in the Braisa that said that we're talking about where first it was planted benignly and then it was worshipped. You don't have to say that. What you could say in the Braisa is that it was planted for Avodah Zarah and that way the Braisa could be going even like the Chachamim. Why did you give a shot in the Braisa that now means it limits the Braisa to one person's opinion, Rav Yosef and Rav Yehuda? And Rabbi Yosef Glulia and Rabbi Kiva, but still, it's a minority position. So, lo sakadacha diktani dumi dahar. The Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because if you look back at the Braisa and you look at the symmetry in the Braisa, you will see. The first point being discussed in the Braisa is a mountain. The second point being discussed is vegetables. I assume they're similar to one another. Why would the Braisa structure itself mountain vegetable? Mahar shalonatu mitchil akach, afhai nami shalonatu mitchil akach. Just like a mountain was not planted for Avodah Zarah. Now I know that's a strange use of language. I get that. Mountains aren't planted, right? Right. Mountains are not planted. But the idea, however, is that if we're going to create some sort of parallel between the mountain and the plants, the parallel will go like this. A mountain is never started as Avodah Zarah. The only thing that happens is that along comes man and he starts praying to the mountain. So in a similar vein, we're going to say the same thing by vegetables. The vegetable wasn't planted for Avodah Zarah, but along comes man, sees a vegetable and starts bowing down to the vegetable.
The distinction, but the distinction is that since the vegetables were planted by man, then they're prohibited from benefit, whereas the mountain, you cannot prohibit.
Correct, but just in terms of explaining, you know, when was the vegetable worshipped? At planting or after planting? So the Gemara assumes because of the parallel, it's after planting. Okay, it's not. It's not compelling, but the Gemara feels that that is a symmetry, and Rav Sheshes felt that that was a symmetry. Itmar. Avni ahar shenildudu. Shenidaldulu. Okay, next question. That's going to take up a good part of our discussion today. A rock on the mountain that dislodged. Now, Rashi over here is very clear. Rashi says, it's five lines down from the top of the page. Ne'akru me'alehim v'ishtachavu akum lahem. It dislodged on its own. Okay? You know rocks move, right? And so what happened over here is that you had a rock on the mountain, and the mountain was worshipped, and the rock dislodged. Now, the way Rashi constructs the case over here, it sounds like the rock was worshipped after it was dislodged. Yeah, and I know why Rashi says that also. Because we go back to the Machlokas Rashi Rabbeinu Tam that we start off this morning with. Rashi says that if you worship a mountain, everything's fine. The mountain's fine. There's no problem with the mountain. Right? Rabbeinu Tam says that the mountain becomes Asa, but right now we're reading Rashi. I understand Rashi. The mountain is fine. The only issue becomes once the rock becomes dislodged from the mountain. Now, it's not fine. Because here you have now something which is no longer connected to the ground. It came out of the ground. And so now the question is, if somebody bows down to that rock and says, oh my God, but like literally, oh my God. So does he make that rock into an Avodah Zarah? That's the question, right? That's exactly the question. So the question now becomes like this, right? What is the unique feature of a mountain? The unique feature of the mountain is it's natural. There was no change whatsoever. So in other words, he didn't distort or change nature. Nature was there as it is. Now, a tree is also nature. But as the Mishnah says, a tree is different in that there's a tefisas yad, which means that there has to be human involvement in the making of the tree. A human is involved. There's a partnership, so to say.
Why?
Trees can grow on their own.
What do you mean trees?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you. I'm just telling you what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah has to give some difference. Why is there such a thing as an Asherah? I mean, you could say simply because the Torah says so. But the Gemara wants to be Svara, the Mishnah tells us that there's a fundamental difference. So that's what the Mishnah told us this morning. That by a tree there's Tfisas Yad. There's human involvement, and therefore the tree is different. So here you have a rock now that becomes dislodged. So, in one sense, it's no longer mechubal karka; it's not connected to the ground. On the other hand, no human took it out of the ground. It just kind of happened on its own. So, is it still now impervious to becoming a Avodah Zarah?
Tfisas Yad is clear that it means human involvement.
Yeah.
You know, a mountain is mechubal karka like nothing else. You can't actually move a mountain.
Yeah, I mean, Rashi says it very simply back in the Mishnah. Rashi writes in the Mishnah, Mibnei Shein Sheish Man Tfisas Yidei Adam, Shah Adam Not To.
So on the Asherah tree, they would have done maybe a room around the tree to make a space. They would have identified that tree specifically different.
Right.
I think.
Right. So it's so by the rock, it's not mechubal karka, but it's no longer part. It's nobody did it. So B'nai Rabbi Chiyav Rabbi Yochanan says there's a machlokus between a marayim, chanamar asuris vechanamar mutaris. Okay, and two sides of the issue. One says it's fine. The other says it's also. My time. We don't know at this point yet. No, who said what? The Gemara will do that a little bit later on. My time. But the Gemara is going to go right into svara. Demanda amar mutaris. Kehar, the one who says that it's mutter, that's easy. It's like the mountain. Ma har shein bo tfisas yidei adam umutter. Avhani shein behem tfisas yidei adam umutarim. Mountain is natural. Nobody changed the mountain. Fine. So the mountain is impervious to becoming a avodah zarah, even though the rock is dislodged. But that was a natural event. Nobody did that. So therefore, the rock is still also impervious to becoming an avodah zarah. Ma lahar shekein mechubar. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm with you, but there still is a basic difference. The rock is not part of the ground anymore. It is dislodged. It is now above the ground. It's not mechubal karka. So the idea of a mountain being impervious is that it's part of the planet. It's mechubal karka. The rock is no longer mechubal karka. So the Gemara says, okay, let's turn our attention away from a rock for just a moment. Let's talk about something else, which is a natural occurrence, and is not connected to the ground, and is impervious to Avodah Zarah. And that's behema, an animal. Now, I know in India, they make a habit of worshipping cows. But between us friends over here, cows and all animals are impervious to avodah zarah. You can now. It's funny, by the way, because we've been spending a good part of our masechta talking about how a cow could be offered to avodah zarah, and that, and then the cow is going to be aser, and that's true. That's takrovas avodah zarah. But if you decide that you want to worship the cow, a cow is impervious to avodah zarah. A cow cannot get the status of avodah zarah. Rashi tells us, how do we know that? Where did that come from? So Rashi says, behema tochiach. Next Rashi on the page, she'ena mechubar ve'enu neseres b'shtachavaya dimida asa rachmana neva legavoa. Rashi says, I'll tell you how we know that. Because if you have an animal that's worshipped, you can't bring that animal as a karban. Right? You can't. Dechsiv min ha-bakar v'lo kol ha-bakar lahotzi ha-nevad b'perek shor shenagach. So the Gemara Bava Kama, over there, the Gemara tells us that if an animal is worshipped as an idol, as a deity, so the animal cannot be brought as a karban. And Rashi then goes on to write, Mechlal de la hajashare. If the Torah is telling us that you can't bring it as a karban, so that means that you and I can eat it. Okay? And listen to the logic, because the logic over here is very important. De'i lehejot aser, lamig likola gavoa. If we can't eat it, you couldn't bring it on the Mizbeach. Absolutely not. Because we have a general rule that the only thing that can go on the Mizbeach is something which is permitted to us. If something's not permitted to us, it can't go on the Mizbeach. The fact that the Torah has to go out of its way to say that this animal, which is worshipped, can't go on the Mizbeach, means that by definition it's okay for us. If the Torah would have said we're not allowed to eat it, it's aser to us, by definition it's already aser to the Mizbeach. Good. So an animal that's worshipped, so think about it now. It's not connected to the ground. It's ain't a mechubal karka.
Sorry, why would you be able to eat it if you couldn't go on the Mizbeach?
Mizbeach has got a higher standard. The standards for the Mizbeach is a higher standard. If an animal... I know this is not a pleasant thought, but if an animal is sodomized, right? We can eat it. Not a pleasant thought. But I'm saying it's, you know, it's... It can't go on the Mizbeach. But we can eat it. The Mizbeach just simply has a higher standard. Its baseline is our baseline. Meaning if we can't eat it, for sure the Mizbeach can't stomach it, so to say. Right? That's for sure. But even on top of that, the Mizbeach's got higher standards. The fact that the Torah has to go out of its way and tell us, oh, a worshipped animal cannot go in the Mizbeach, that means that for us it's okay. You and I are allowed to eat that animal. Good. So now let's say it like this. An animal is not mechubal karka, it's not connected to the ground. It walks around, and it basically is impervious to avodah zarah. Now, I know I just told you that you can't call the Mizbeach, but that's a chumrah, meaning its basic status hasn't changed. If it really was avodah zarah, you and I couldn't eat it. It's also bahana, right? So it's essentially impervious to avodah zarah. So here you have now, so the rock that's dislodged, it's any worse than the animal? But the Gemara says Mala Behema Shekim Balachayim. Okay, but you're comparing an inanimate object to an animal. That's not a fair comparison. Har Yochiach, so now let's go back to our mountain. And here's what we do. The Gemara does this all the time. We seek now a common denominator between two halachas. We have one halacha that a mountain is impervious to avodah zarah. We have a second halacha that an animal is impervious to avodah zarah. It's not the same, but there are common denominators. V'chazar adil lo rizek rizev lo rizek rizev hatzar hashava shabahen shein ben tfisas yedei adam umutar av kol shein ben tfisas yedei adam umutar. They are both, what's the common denominator? Natural. Naturally occurring event. An animal is a natural event. Right? It has no tfisas yad. No human involvement was made in terms of producing an animal. Same thing with the mountain. It's a natural occurring event. So a rock that dislodged from the ground, natural occurring event. So therefore, it's impervious to avodah zarah. Ma latzad hashavah shebahem shekein lo nishtanu mebiyasam. Gemara says, yeah, but it didn't undergo a significant change from what it once was. Animal's an animal. Animal was always an animal. Same thing about a mountain. A rock that dislodges is nishtanu mebiyasam. It's true it's a natural occurring event, but it did go through a shino. It did go through a subtle change. So even if I have the two halachas of mountain and animal, rock maybe still be different. Ale Asya, so the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll do, it's not a big deal, we'll modify the Tzad HaShava. and mibehema balasmum umehar. In other words, we'll compare it to an animal with a deformity on it that went through a change, and it's still impervious to avodah zarah. Inami mibehema tama mi ilan yavesh. Or we'll go from a behema tama. We'll go from a behema tama. We'll go from a dry tree. Again, same basic idea. Dry tree went through a subtle change, and so now we have naturally occurring events, a mountain and an animal, and small change, not a big change. Both are impervious to avodah zarah. So too is the dislodged rock impervious to avodah zarah. Uman das lach iksiv. Fine. Period. Sorry. Okay. So the tzad haheter. To say that a dislodged rock, so here you have a rock that came out of the mountain, natural occurring, shifting of the plates, like I know what I'm talking about.
An avalanche.
Fine. That's a better example. So here you have a rock that's dislodged from a mountain, but has not been moved, not been changed, not been touched by human hands, and somebody decides to worship it. It's impervious to avodah zarah. And the tzad haheter is, look what else is out there. Mountains are impervious to avodah zarah. Animals are impervious to avodah zarah. And through a tzad hashaveh, so too is a rock going to be impervious to avodah zarah. Okay, that's the tzad heter. Now let's go to the other tzad. Let's go to the tzad iser. Uman da'asot la'achiksev. And the tzad iser says, look, what you just did was beautiful. The tzad hashaveh was excellent. I'm going to ignore it. I'll just ignore it. But I'll tell you why I'm going to ignore it. Shaketz to shaketzer v'sa'ev to sa'avenu. The Torah says that when it comes to avodah zarah, you must hate it. We have to loathe avodah zarah. Right? The Torah says it in many different formats, in many different ways. It's not that we should just be benign. Right? Something that's not kosher, you're not supposed to hate something that's not kosher. There's no point in doing so. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin says, right, everything can be imitated. Meaning anything that's not kosher can be imitated, and if you want to taste something that's not kosher, it's out there in kosher form. So that's fine. But when it comes to avodah zarah, shaketz to shaketzer v'sa'ev to sa'avenu, you must absolutely hate it. The af agav de'asya midina leheterah. So over here, you had such a great lamdas. Yeah, you pointed to the mountain, you pointed to the animal, you created tzad hashaveh shebehem, you tweaked the tzad hashaveh. It was beautiful. It was great. But because the Torah says that when it comes to avodah zarah, I have to hate it, I'm just going to ignore the tzad hashaveh. I'm going to ignore your limud. So lo tasya. So I'm just simply not going to learn it out. Period. It's interesting, right? An emotion, it's a strange bit of Gemara over here. An emotion that the Torah tells us to have is going to tell us to ignore a limud. Right, that's essentially what's coming out over here. It's very interesting, and it's definitely requires more analysis. Tistayim, good. Okay, so we have now the question of the dislodged rock. We have two opinions: the tzad heter, the tzad iser. The Gemara went and now explained each tzad, and now the Gemara is going to go one step further, and that is let's try to identify who said what. Tistayim, de bnei Rabbi Chiya desharu. It seems like Rabbi Chiya were the ones who permitted it. Why? Based on other pieces of information, the Bayi Chizkiya. Zakav beitza lishach vosla. Okay, you decide that the deity of the day is going to be an egg. And why not? I mean, in other words, anything can be deified. And an egg is a nice shape to it.
Hard
boiled. Right, and it's... wait, we're going to talk about that. And so here's the question. So you take an egg and I stand it up. Now,
how do you do?
Yeah, I it doesn't work for me.
On sand.
Right?
On sand.
Okay, fine.
The equinox.
Right.
Okay, everyone's got a suggestion. Okay, good. So you stand the egg up, zake beitza lishtachavosla mahu. And that's the best suggestion. Okay, so mahu. So what's the halacha? Now, the question, what's the question? Meaning, obviously, there's a question over here. Obviously, there's a consideration. So now the Gemara is going to explore what was the consideration. What's the problem over here? Maika sakadadcha. Sorry, mahu. Ka sakadadcha lishtachavosla, vishtachavala. So, in the Havamina, here's what we're thinking. He actually bowed down to it. He worshipped the egg. So, in other words, he propped the egg up. And then, you know, it's, I guess, you know, like the Gemara's instructions, we're going to make fun of it because we're supposed to make fun of it. And then he bows down to the egg and he says, oh, egg. Day, right? He draws a face on the egg. That's very good. And he bows down and he says, oh, great egg. Would you please? Now he bowed down to it. Vekami ba'ilei. And now, okay, so now that we know that, so what's the question? Right? So, in other words, I don't even have to learn the Masechta Avodah Zarah. Somebody just asked me the question. I'm bowing down to an egg. The egg that is Asur or Mutter? Well, of course, it's an object of Avodah Zarah. What's the question? So, Hai Zikifa Sa'i Have Maisa Ilo Have Maisa. Right. The question goes like this. The egg is a natural phenomenon, like the mountain, like the rock. It's a natural phenomenon. So maybe the egg, in its natural state, is impervious to Avodah Zarah because it's a natural phenomenon. And maybe I need Tfisas Yad, human intervention, in order to make it now susceptible to Avodah Zarah. There has to be some sort of Tfisas Yad. Tfisas Yad, by the way, if you want to make an analogy, I don't know if it's good or bad, I'll let you decide. But it's like Hechsher for Tumah Tahara. Right? In other words, in order for something to become susceptible to Tumah Tahara, it needs to come into contact with water. So here, in a similar vein, in order for something to become susceptible to Avodah Zarah, it first needs human intervention. So the question now becomes the following. The egg is horizontal. I now turn it vertical. Is that enough human intervention? So, Elo Havemaisa, Avalo Zakaf Lo Mitzra, Shma Mina. If all this is true, but this is all based on assumption, if all this is true, Shema Minah, B'nai Rabbi Chiyah, Desharu. It sounds like the B'nai Rabbi Chiyah, for any item, forget a rock, we're talking about an egg now, for any item that had no human intervention, it is not susceptible to Avodah Zarah. It's impervious to Avodah Zarah.
Just the egg moving to that place was a human intervention. I mean, it was born, you know.
The Gemara, I guess at this point in time, the Gemara is assuming that's where the egg was laid. Right. Otherwise, it's hard to disagree with you.
Look, with behemoth.
That was going to be my next point. Very good, Stuart. That was going to be my very next point. Well, the animal also is being led around.
It's bred also.
Right. So, and for some reason, the Gemara feels that that's not human intervention. Right. So that's a very good point.
Well, the thing is that animal has the ability to walk on its own. So even if you lead it, it's not your influence as much as
right.
The
right. I hear that, yes?
The egg is pretty inert.
So now you have
the humans have to get it to that point.
The sun and the moon get
Wait, no, not yet. No.
Natural objects?
Correct. Leave the sun and moon out of it. The Torah specifically says don't worship the sun and moon. That happens to be a very good point. So the shar lo la ola me melcha b'nei Rabbi Chiya da asre di shtachavala afa gav de lo zakfa asura. So the Gemara says no. Let's roll back and let's take away one of our assumptions. The hachem b'maiskin and kigon shazakav beitz al ishtachav as lavei lo ishtachavala. They prop the egg up. Nobody bowed down to it yet. They just propped the egg up. Now. In just a couple days from now, we're going to see the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. We've referenced this machlokus already a couple of times in the Masechta. When a Jew makes Avodah Zarah, when does it get the status of Avodah Zarah? When it's completed or when it's actually worshipped? Subject to a machlokus. So the Gemara says over here, good. Do you mean to tell me that the question is, propping up the egg, is that now the completion of Avodah Zarah? Gemara says, that's a machlokus tanayim. Laman ilaman da amar avos kocham shayisa asura miyad asura ilaman da amar ashiteyaved halopacha. So the Gemara says, look, that's a machlokas tanayim. Rabbi Chi is not going to be asked a question which is subject to a machlokas tanayim. Lo tzricha kagon shezakav beitzal ishtachav asla v'lo ishtachav ala uva ove kochavim ishtachav ala. So the Gemara says it goes like this: Jew props up the egg. Egg is on the is lying horizontal. Along comes a Jew, props it up now, vertical. Vertical egg. And then along comes a guy. And a guy comes now and bows down to the egg. Now, there's a lot of issues here in this suggestion of the Gemara. Who told the guy to do that? And if the answer is, well, you told the guy to do that, that's not going to...
Isn't that lift
the Eiver? Right. A, it's lift the Eiver. B, ain shliach le'dvar aveira. Right? His... bowing down doesn't doesn't go back to you, it doesn't translate to you. So
saw a miracle when the egg stood up like that.
So Kihadam Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Yisrael, in fact, okay, I'm going to get back to those points in just a moment, but this is precedented. Yisrael Shazakov Levein, Elishachav Asla. So let's say you have the following. Let's say a Jew comes along now and turns a brick on its narrow end, stands the brick up, and along comes a non-Jew, Elishachav Asla. Asura, the brick becomes Asur. Okay, meaning that you need, in order for something to become Asur, you need somebody to worship it. The Chiddush here is, it doesn't have to be you. It could be somebody else. Now, generally speaking, a person cannot worship your item and make your item Asur. In Adam Osur, Davashe Eino Shalom, a person cannot prohibit, forbid, something that does not belong to him. Generally, that's true. Rashi over here writes, yeah, but he propped it up. Because he propped it up, he showed the world, I want this to be an Avodah Zarah. I want everyone to come around, I want everyone to bow to it. The moment somebody does so, even if it's a non-Jew, it's now Avodah Zarah, it fulfilled his wishes, it fulfilled his ratzon. So it's true in Shlech L'Dvaravera, it's also true in Adam Osa Davashen Shalom, but the mere fact that he propped it up, that's an indication to everybody, I want people to worship it.
So along the side of the road, there's a marker that says 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile, 4 mile. Somebody comes along and bows to it, and it becomes an idol.
Okay,
it's a road marker.
All right, let's
totem poles.
Stay with the yeah.
Totem poles. They're
the
made
totem
from Buddhist.
Totem pole is different. Yeah. It's ancestor work.
Jesus Yard.
So can you go like to Alaska and like go, you know, wow?
I mean, you can look at it, you know, but you can't get Hanoi, you can't get any benefit from it. If looking at it is benefit, but Mara usually we say is not benefit.
But the brick is man-made.
The Kami Bailei, Michael, perfect. The Kami Bailei, Levena, He, the Minkara, Zakufa, Sava, Beit Salah, Odom Aloshna. And the Gemara says, now that we know this, now that we know the deal with the brick, so then what's the egg question? Meaning it sounds pretty much the same. So the Gemara says, taking a brick and putting it on its end, on its narrow end, that's minkara. That's something that everybody sees, everybody notices it. Yeah, we get it. But with an egg, although, again, to us it's an amazing feat to take an egg and put it on its narrow side. It's amazing, but still the Gemara says, maybe it's ain't a minkara, it's not as noticeable. Take good. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Okay. Bani Rami Bar Chama. Next topic of discussion. Hamishtachav alahar, avon of mahu lemizbeach. So let's say a mountain gets worshipped. Okay, now again, we got to go back to our Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, because it's really, in these discussions, it's so critical. Rashi says a mountain does not become prohibited. Rabbeinu Tam says it does become prohibited, you just don't have to destroy it. Again, as I pointed out, these Gemaras sound a lot more like better for Rashi, more difficult for Rabbeinu Tam. Hamishachav alahar. So you bound down to a mountain, and then you take the stones. Avanav mahul mizbeach. Can you use the stones for a mizbeach? Meaning, right? If we can just explain this question a little bit better. For you and I, we want to build our house with these stones. Isn't it? It's not a problem, right? The mountain didn't become us. The mountain doesn't become a god. Al haharim. But not the harim. The mountains don't become a god. So there's no deification of a mountain. So you and I, if we want to quarry the mountain and take the stones and build a house, that's fine. It happens to be that now, think about it, I'm going to take the stones of a mountain that was bowed to. Yes, technically the mountain didn't become a deification. It wasn't deified. But still, it's tainted. And to use it for the mizbeach, right? We should have a more of a sensitivity for the mizbeach. So mahul mizbeach.
Analogous to the case.
Fuji, which is a god by itself.
Okay. Isn't this analogous to the case of an animal that is offered as was worshipped and then is again?
Right. Oh, so yesh nevad b'mechuber etzel gavoa, o ein nevad b'mechuber etzel gavoa. So is this question of nevad by mechuba regarding gavoa, meaning by the animal cannot be brought on the mizbeach, but the animal is not connected to the ground. Maybe the Gemara is suggesting now, ground is even more impervious, right, than the animal, because at least with the animal, yeah, it's impervious, but it's about to talk about something which is landmass and say that, oh, it's going to be affected, it's going to be tainted? The Gemara says that's exactly the question. Imtim salomar yesh neva b'mechubra it's a gavol machshir karban kekarban dami olo. And then what we can do is we can even sharpen the question just a little bit more, and the question will go like this: maybe even if there's such a thing as neva by mechubar, but by the animal, the question was using the animal as a karban. Here it's machshire karban. The mizbeach is something that is a, it's an accessory. It's a hechi timsa. It's a way to get the karban, meaning I can't have a karban without a mizbeach. But it's not a karban. It's just a facilitator of the karban. So the Gemara is suggesting on another level, it would be another reason to say that it may be okay. Although, Amar Rava Kavachomer. So Rava says, okay, let's try to use our logic, and let's use the following logical deduction. Uma esnan shemuter betalosh lehejon aser b'mechubar legavoa. Okay, now esnan, right? A person who goes into the profession of prostitution, usually a woman, and she takes a fee for her prostitution, and the fee comes in the form of an animal. She can't take that animal and use it as a carbon, right? Lo savi esnan zono mechir kelav abeis hashem lokecha. I think I butchered the pasuk. So, but you can't bring it to the mizbeach. Again, it's tainted. It's not nice. Her profession is not nice. It's not right. So you can't use it. Now, uma esnan shemuta betalosh lehejot aser b'mechubar legavoa dechsev lo savi esnan zona umechir kala loshna talosh veloshna b'mechubar. So when I have the esnan, so for you and me, it's fine. Meaning, if we want to benefit from it, that's not a problem whatsoever. But for the mizbeach, you can't use it, and it doesn't matter if it's connected or disconnected to the ground. You cannot use it.
Is it an
isur? It seems to be an isur on the object. It seems to be that way, right?
No, I would think that if she sells the animal to somebody else, he has no idea what the story is with it. He could.
Right, right.
Right,
but it seems to be on the object. The issue seems to be on the object. So talosh v'losh na b'mechubar nevad she'asa b'talosh lehejot. Now nevad, so she'asa b'talosh lehejot, something that was worshipped, we can't benefit from it. Asa b'hana ain odin she'asa b'mechubar lagavoa. So don't you think that when it's connected to the ground, it has a higher sensitivity, and I cannot use it for Hashem, and I cannot build a mizbeach out of it? Okay, so that's an argument. It is a logical argument, the Kavachomer, it's as traditional as it comes, right? If we have less sensitivity for the Esnan, and I can't build Mizbeach out of it, if I have more sensitivity for Nevad, I for sure can't build the Mizbeach out of it. Classic Kavachomer. Amalei Ravuna Breda Rav Yishula Rav Ochiluf. You know, what we could do is we could take that argument, and we can go right the opposite way. We can reverse it. My nevad she'asa betalosh she'etz lehejo muta b'mechubar legavoa she'nemar Eloheim alaharim v'lo alaharim Eloheim loshna lehejo v'loshna legavoa. Something connected to the ground is totally impervious, becomes tainted not one bit, and so therefore it's fine. If that's your starting point, so then esnan she'muta betalosh lehejo eino din she'muta b'mechubar legavoa, and so an esnan for sure would be okay legavoa. All we did over here is just start from the side of the Navon, start off with the assumption that it's okay, because we don't know, so let's argue that it's okay. And if it's okay, if Mechubal Akark is okay by a Navon, Esnan, which is a lot lighter, for sure is going to be okay by Mechubar. V'im Yishum Beis Hashem Elokecha, and what are you going to tell me? Beis Hashem Elokecha. Gemara says, don't be bothered by that. This is an exclusion of the para aduma. Imagine, prostitute gets paid with a para aduma. and then she turns around and she says to the Beis HaMikdash, okay, I understand, it's not right, I know I should be changing professions, I get it. But in the meantime, though, I do have a paraduma. So probably Shaina Bala Beis Divrei Rebbe Lazar. It's not brought to Beis Hashem Elokecha. Chachamim Amar LeRabbos Esarikuim, and according to the Chachamim, it's coming to exclude to include the plating on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Anyway, whichever way you're going to go, but we could use our Kal V'chomer to go in the opposite direction. Amar Le Anaka Amin LeChomer V'Atamat LeKula. Look, you're right, and I'm right. Kal V'chomer could have gone in either direction. If we would have gone in the direction from Esnan to Nevad, it would have been a Chumrah. If we would have started from Nevad and gone to Esnan, it would have been a Kula. So let me ask you, when we have a Kal V'chomer, and you can either go the Kula or you can go the Chumrah, the general rule is by Kal V'chomer, you only go up to Chumrah, you don't go down to Kula. Now, there's nothing wrong with Kulas. Kulas are good. Right? A Kula is a good thing. But when it comes to a kula, to generate a kula using a logical argument, Gemara says really that should be avoided. A kal v'chomer should not be the cause of a kula, right? So kula v'chomer l'chomer parchinan. So amalei Rav Papa l'Rava v'chol hecha di'ika kula v'chomer l'kula loch parchinan v'ha hazad de pesach de pliga Rav Elazar v'Rabbi Kiva de Rav Elazar sav l'chomer v'kamechayev lei l'gaver v'Rabbi Kiva l'kula. So the Gemara says, let's go to another place where there seems to be this issue of which direction should we go with our Kal V'chomer. Rav Elazar and Rabbi Kiva have an argument. I'll explain what the argument is in just a moment. And the Gemara says, and the Tanaim are arguing which way the Kal V'chomer should go, whether Lekula or whether Lechumra. If you're maintaining that by Kal V'chomer you can only go Lechumra, not Lekula, so what's the whole discussion of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lazar? They shouldn't even be having a discussion. The Kapar Rabbi Akiva Lekula. In fact, Rabbi Kiva is the one who is using a Kal V'chomer to go Lekula. Didnan. Now let's go over this. Let's see what their issue is. But their issue, as important as it is really just a sidebar over here. The real issue that we're trying to uncover is, when I have a Kal V'chomer, do I go Lekula or Lechumra? And the Gemara is going to show us Rabbi Kiva went Lekula. So that's going to be a problem. Okay, and then Gemara's going to have to deal with that. Okay, what's the issue, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lazar? Ditnan. We learned the following Mishnah. Heisha Rabbi Kiva, Ochiluf. Erev Pesach that year came out on a Shabbos. And to complicate matters, that person who wanted to bring the Karban Pesach was Thomas Mace. And to make it even more complicated, his seventh day of Tahara came on the Shabbos. Now, if Erev Pesach that year wasn't the Shabbos, it'd be great. It'd be perfect. Meaning, on that seventh day over there, sprinkle him with the Paraduma on day seven, and then let him that night, now that he's in a state of total Tahara, enjoy the Karban Pesach Bizmano. Problem is, it's Shabbos. And so what? You can't sprinkle the Paraduma on Shabbos? And the answer is no. Now, you're not violating a malacha when you sprinkle the paraduma. It's just sprinkling of water. But it's nira kemisakein. It looks like you are achieving a tahara. Actually, you are achieving a tahara. It doesn't look like it. You are. And it looks like you're fixing an item. One of the malachas on Shabbos is makeh bepatish. You're not allowed to put the final blow, the finishing touch on an item. This is not a real malacha. It's not a malacha d'oraisa. But it's nira kemisakin. It looks like you're being fixed now. You went from a state of tumah to a state of tahara. Therefore, the rabbis prohibited sprinkling on Shabbos. Okay. But over here, I'm not just sprinkling for no reason. I'm sprinkling over here so that tonight I can enjoy the Karban Pesach. So maybe the rabbis waived their rabbinic injunction so I can enjoy the Karban Pesach. This is the machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lazar. Heishiv Rabbi Akiva ochilof ma hazar shi mishum shvuz in adocha Shabbos shchita shi daraisa lo kol shekein. So, right, Rabbi Kiva says, look, if you want to go forward with your logic, I can't violate a rabbinic prohibition. Are you meaning to tell me that I can't violate a biblical prohibition? Specifically, what is he referring to? The shechting of the Karban Pesach, which is in fact allowed to be done on that Shabbos. So if, right, this is now what Rabbi Kiva is trying to argue to Rabbi Shmuel. I'm sorry, Rabbi Eliezer. So anyway, but the point is that you see Rabbi Kiva is arguing towards a kula. He's making a kal v'chomer towards a kula. Hasam Rebbe Lezer Gamrei v'yakale tamudam. So the Gemara says over there, Rebbe Akiva wasn't really doing kal v'chomer. Meaning, Rebbe Lezer forgot his learning. Rebbe Lezer knew you can't sprinkle. It's just that he forgot about it. V'asa Rebbe Akiva ad kure. And Rebbe Akiva over there was just trying to remind him, hey, Rebbe Lezer, remember, you can't do that. That's all. It wasn't a real kal v'chomer. V'haimer de'amer le'Rebbe al tachmerne b'shas adin. Kach mekubal ani mimcha hazar shavos. In fact, the Brisa there records later on, Rebbe Akiva says to him, I learned it from you. I can't sprinkle the paradum on Shabbos because it's an issur d'rabbanan ve'eino doches haShabbos. Okay, so it's not a real kal v'chomer over there. It was just a way Rebbe Akiva trying to help Rebbe Elazar remember what Rebbe Elazar himself taught.
So he didn't mean the kal v'chomer.
Correct. The kal v'chomer over there was totally, it was unnecessary, it was superfluous. He was just trying to be polite to his Rebbe. Okay. Good. So and where does this take us now? So again, the question is, can I take stones of a mountain that was worshipped and use it for a mizbeach? Question, is there a higher sensitivity towards the mizbeach? And the Gemara at this point in time leaves us without an answer. You could go kal v'chomer either way. The Gemara says, generally speaking, we want kal v'chomer to go l'chomra, not l'kula. Okay. Let's do a little bit more this evening. Okay, good. Okay. By Rami Bar Chama, Meshachav El Kemah Chitim. Let's say people bow down to wheat. Mahu leMenachos. Can I use that wheat now for Menachos? Yesh Shinui Benevan. Yeah, I'm sorry. Ari.
They're
stalks. Right now they're connected to the ground. Absolutely. Yesh Shinui Benevan. O Ein Shinui Benevan. Does Shinui help or does Shinui not help? Now let's be clear about this question right now. Let's try to be very clear about this question. If I have something that's worshipped as an idol, and if I have something which is deified, and then I change it, is that going to help? Of course not. In fact, we learned a couple days ago that even if I grind it up, I can't sprinkle it on the ground and use it as fertilizer. Correct? Right. So changing something is not going to give it a new status. Right? Shinui is kone, that's true, that's a babakaba concept, that you acquire something through shinui, but this is not an acquisition. This is taking something which is asr and asr bahana and making it mutter. Shinui is not going to help. Right? So, that begs the question. So what's the Gemara entertaining over here? I have a stalk and I bow down to the stalk and now the stalk is going to, we're going to grind it up and it'll be fine? Okay. So the question over here is it's a much more subtle question because the stalks are connected to the ground.
Right, yeah.
Right. The stalks are connected to the ground. And something that's connected to the ground is part of the ground. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, we're talking not about the ground itself. We're talking about growth from the ground. And that's more of an Asherah discussion. But still, it's a much more subtle discussion about not something that is already detached and tfisas yad and had human intervention, but we're talking about something that's in the ground. So maybe, here's what the Gemara now is asking, something that's connected in the ground, maybe shinui does help. And maybe shinui will give it just enough of a new identity that I could use it as a carbon. Tosh.
I'm sorry, so if man changes it, it becomes permitted?
Right. But the question over here, that's what I'm pointing out. It's a subtle question because its isser to begin with was not a strong isser. So their change is going to permit it. Generally speaking, change will not permit something. So yeshinu benevad or yeshinu benevad. I'm a mazurcha brei de Rav Nachman tashmakol asrum lagabe mizbech v'ladosem mutarim. Something which was either worshipped or sodomized, an animal which is worshipped or sodomized. So according to the chachamim, its offspring is fine. According to Rabbi Lazar, its offspring is not fine. Now, at this point, the Gemara is assuming that the animal, the fetus, was already inside, and the fetus was already inside, and its birth is basically a change, a shinui. And the Gemara now is assuming that you see that a little change makes it okay. Now remember, an animal which is either worshipped or sodomized cannot be used for the mizbech. But essentially, it's okay. Meaning, we can consume it. It's just that for the mizbech, it's tainted. But the animal that comes out goes through a little bit of a change, and so therefore the animal can be used for the Mizbeach, according to the Chachamim, and Rav Elazar disagrees. If all this is true, if everything I said is true, it's a pretty good proof that once you take something which is asur to the Mizbeach, and you give it a little shinui, that's fine. Although, you can argue very simply that the birth of an animal is not a shinui, that's not a change. In other words, all that happened is that it was internal, then it comes external. Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravu, Amachlokis Kishenirvu, Ulevisof Ibru. Aval Ibru, Lesof Nirvu, Divrakol Asurim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but remember, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about when the animal was already pregnant. If the animal is already pregnant, that for sure is Asur. We are talking about where the animal was not pregnant. It was either then sodomized or worshipped, and then it got impregnated. Right? That's the whole machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. But if the animal was sodomized or worshipped while it was impregnated, the fetus is prohibited. Divrei Hakol Asurim V'Achanami, Ki Ibru L'Sof Nirvu Dami. And over here, I'd venture to say, says the Gemara, that the wheat is the same thing. Same exact thing? Ika Da'amar, the Gemara has another version. Machlokis kishnirvu l'sof ibra, val ibra l'sof nirvu divra kolasav. Hani nami kivru l'sof nirvu dami. Hachi hashta. In the second version of this Gemara, it's not exactly the same. Hasam ikara behema v'hashta behema. Because look, it didn't go through a major change. It only went through a geographic change. It was inside, and now it's outside. Dashahu da'achize ba'anpa. The door was standing in its way, but the door opened up and it came out. I know childbirth is not that simple.
But I understand. Change in the status.
But we're talking about physical change, actual change to the item.
But they're just the identity of the animal. It's no longer a fetus.
Correct. But it's right. Right now we're talking about physical change. But over here, mikarachiti v'hashta kimcha bai. Sorry, I'm sorry. V'hashta kimcha. But over here, it's wheat, and then you ground it up, and it's flour. That's a much more dramatic change. So the Gemara says, even after going through the sugya of the birth of the animal, it's not exactly the same. Okay, so the last thing we talked about today was the possibility of changing something and making it mutter. Again, as I pointed out already when we started the sugya, it's not the simple question of shinui making something mutter. It doesn't work. Shinui doesn't work. It's a much more subtle discussion of something which is fundamentally mutter, just usher to the Mizbeach, and that undergoing a shinui, maybe shinui over there, would make it acceptable, make it okay. The Gemara at this point left it off with a taker. Good. Tomorrow we don't have the daf. We resume on the first day of Yontov, an hour before Mincha. Everyone have a very good Hoshana Rabbah and a very good Yontov.